Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Powerfully You with your hosts Dave and Linda McDowell.
Good Sunday afternoon. We apologize for our missed programs recently. One weekend, Linda was out of town, and I simply chickened out. I'm doing it by myself. No, the next two weekends we had car trouble. Welcome to our world. We are normal.
Yes. Some would argue that. But
well, yeah, I guess it's, your definition of normal has to be pretty wide. let me introduce our subject for today. It's called Kairos Moments, and I'm just going to read here. What is a Kairos moment? It is a moment or moments that affect your life forever. That's a Davism definition because that is how it works for me. It might be a moment of critical decision. It might be a time where a spiritual truth is understood for the first time or more clearly. It could be a divine appointment or a simple interaction with a colleague, family, or friend. Linda and I would like to share, we're going to share a few of our Kairos moments to try to get your mental juices going and looking and thinking about what yours might be. Now,
and call in if
and,
you'd like to share one
yeah,
of your Kairos moments.
And we know this was not a really well-advanced scheduled program, but if you're out there listening and you want to join us, our call-in number is 646-787-1589. Let me give that to you one more time. 646-787-1589. And we'd love to hear some of your Kairos moments or your thoughts of whether we're out in left field or right on track. And we're welcome. We welcome either one of those opinions.
Yes, and comments and whatever.
You don't have to agree with us. In fact, we enjoy being challenged because we want to think.
Right.
You know, we don't want to just repeat everything we've ever heard. We like, Lynn and I really do examine what we believe. And so anyway, so that's my definition of Kairos moment. Linda is sort of a little different. I'll let her kind of give you her definition.
Well, I agree with you a lot. I just believe that Kairos moments are those moments in time that is those right, opportune times or moments in your life that you step into where you something was revealed to you. I always say the veil was lifted and you just made this big revelation. And they don't have to always be big moments, but some life-changing occurrence happened and it was a stumbling block or it was a steps in a chain that caused a reaction that maybe changed the course or the events of your life. And sometimes I think we can have Kairos moments from something you said, Dave, that maybe at that moment you didn't realize there was a Kairos moment. And maybe 5 years down the line, you realize, wow, that was really a life-changing moment to me.
Significant.
And I feel like for me, Kairos moments in my life have been those moments where it looked like time stood still for a minute, and I just came to, for a second, actually, and I came to some revelation.
Well, I just realized how we should work through this. Because Linda's Kairos moments tend to be more dramatic, whereas a lot of mine seem very, very trivial. So why don't we take this tack and that you share your Kairos moments, and I'll share mine, and our listeners can see both kind of things there.
I don't know if they were really dramatic, but they were moments when, like I said, for a few seconds, it felt like time stood still, and I came to a realization. One was when, like I said, I was in the Nation of Islam. I was nothing big or different from any other Sunday happened, except that I was hearing a lecture, and all of a sudden, it was just like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense anymore. I don't belong here anymore. This is not me anymore.
And you weren't a Christian.
Not a Christian at that point in time. So it was just that moment. And then another was, when I was much younger, I think I was in a club or something, and it was a dance club. And I know I had been a couple of times with my girlfriends or whatever, and I was sitting with my girlfriends, as a matter of fact, and it was just like sitting there and looking at people dance and all of that stuff, and then it was just like this moment in time that stood still for a few seconds, nothing dramatic or anything. It's just that I knew this wasn't me anymore. I didn't want to do this anymore. I didn't want to come to clubs anymore. I didn't want to go through all of that anymore. Right. It just was not me anymore.
Right. Yeah, so I said I was going to give you trivial, but I'll give you a couple big ones. One is when I was saved at 7 years old. And I remember that it was Vacation Bible School, First Baptist Church, Center Point, Alabama. You know, it was Friday after a week of Vacation Bible School. And I know I came home and started talking to my mom and dad about being saved because I'd heard what that really meant. And I got it. And they took me to the pastor who, quote, examined me. That's the old way of doing it. You know, do you really know what you're doing? And he was convinced I was and baptized me that, I believe it was that Sunday.
Wow.
And I remember the auditorium because it was the old auditorium that nobody in Center Point but me would probably ever remember. It's long gone. In the old baptismal one, my brother Ralph Field, see, there's so much detail I remember. That's part of how I know it's a Kairos moment, because I remember so much. Another one was 1980 when I surrendered. When I reached that point where I prayed the best prayer I ever prayed, and I said, Lord, I can't handle this. If I'm in church doing the best I can, I feel guilty because it's not good enough. And if I'm out of the church partying and doing drugs and everything, I feel guilty because I know that's not the life I should be leading, but I can't do anything about it. I've tried both paths, and I end up miserable. And so I prayed this prayer, and that is, God, here it is. This is my life. I need help. I can't handle this. I don't want to live like this, but I'm not making you any promises. I'm not committing to anything. So if anything changes, it will have to be you who does it. And he did. He brought me this spiritual mentor that to this day I still repeat the things he helped me understand. Those are significant Kairos moments. Have you anything you want to share another one?
Well, there are probably plenty that I could go through. I think it's just, to me, it's those moments in time where you know that life is going to change for you.
Okay.
You know, those moments, and sometimes it's something big, and sometimes it's not. It's just like this clear moment where I feel like you know you have to take another step in life, that you either graduated or something has changed drastically.
So here's one of my Kairos moments that I didn't know it was a Kairos moment at that time. I don't think I knew it was a Kairos moment for a long time after, but it has never left me, and it has always been a lesson to me. And that was 13 years old, Sunday school class at this little bitty church where anybody who taught was anybody who could read and write. You know, I mean, because it's a small church, you just did whatever you could, you know. And so we took volunteers, you know, anybody that the pastor and the deacon board could talk into doing something. It didn't matter whether you were called or not, to be honest about it. But we had this young lady, married lady, who was doing the best she could with the Sunday school class of seventh graders. You think about it. And for some reason she was late that morning, and I wrote something and drew a picture on the board that was not flattering, thinking I was being funny. And she walked in, and I have never forgotten the look on her face of hurt. And it's been a lesson to me forever. I still don't want to hurt people. I do, but I don't want to. So to me, that was absolutely a Kairos moment. There's others like that. I'm trying to think.
Well, do you believe? I believe there can be Kairos moments in the body of Christ. How do you feel about
absolutely.
That? I feel like there are times and seasons in the body of Christ. I can think of seasons that I've gone through, and you know, I think I've been a Christian now maybe 16 years, 17, almost 20, but not quite 20. Years, but I can remember when I was first becoming a Christian, You know, I really got a lot from, and not knocking anybody, but from TBN and Taliban, just not just them, but the Taliban.
Well, that's the only teaching you had.
Yeah, that was the only teaching. Yeah,
not like you could get down to the first pass.
Yeah, no. So I would look at television. But thinking on of that, I can remember that there have been seasons in the church, like the Name It, Claim It. And then the Word of God moment where, you know, you
the
get
Pentecostal moment of the 80s.
Yeah. And so I see these different changes in the body of Christ.
And we're seeing them today. We saw one, an example of one today.
We did see one today where you just know that, I think even as a Christian, as you go through these periods, you realize, I'm not sure. I think that's not for me anymore. I believe it's for some people, but that's not for me. I'm going to, as I went through the Name It, Claim It kind of thing,
yep.
And I went through that, you know, and I feel like I got some good things from that, and I learned faith and all of that, and I do have that, and it's a season for that. But then I realized, I reached a point where it's like, I don't think that's me anymore. Just that moment where it gets your fault.
Well, I think you reached the place, and I may be stepping on toes, my friends.
Yeah.
Feel free to tell me.
Yeah.
Were you mature?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use that word. That it's not Name It, Claim It. God does not owe me anything. And there's no formula I can do that will all ever cause him to owe me anything. God blesses me because he loves me. And there are truths and there are principles that if I follow, frankly, the blessings will come.
And
but
I
not
like,
Name It, Claim It. I may not get the latest Porsche,
right,
the biggest house, and I don't care anymore.
Well, and that's the season of me. And I don't feel like it's anything totally wrong if that is where your faith is. I won't say that's wrong or right. It depends, because I do believe you have to hold on to positive things. I do believe that you have to have a measure of faith. What the way you mature is that maybe it's not about a car or a house. You know, it may be other things.
Well, what you want.
Yeah.
Changes.
Yeah, that is what changes, and you become more mature. Maybe you want to serve more people. You want to be an effective whatever.
Or funnel for blessings.
Right.
Yeah.
Or that you know, I think your mindset changes and matures, and then maybe it's not about the car and the Porsche and all that.
Let's take typical growing up. You're 16 years old. What's the most important thing in your life? Your car, the girlfriend, and the clothes you wear. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. And as you grow, those things change in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, you realize what your clothes aren't the most important thing in your life. You find out that driving the greatest car isn't all that big a deal. Et cetera, et cetera. You and your desires for those things change. They're still nice. There's nothing wrong with them.
But
if God blesses you. But that's not the goal.
And I feel like the body of Christ has Kairos moments, because that is not the big thing that it was. Yeah. So that, I guess, we mature in Christ where those moments are not that important. I still feel like as the body of Christ, we are coming to a moment in time where you know, we realize the maybe the importance of the time that we have, and we have to, you know, we realize that we are the salt. I think that we're beginning to realize, like some people are waking up to the fact that we are the salt of the earth, and so we better start acting like it. And I feel like that realization
show. Not in a look at us, but in real ways, on Monday morning, when the guy next to you in the cubicle next to you is struggling, and you know he's struggling, you can feel it, and you put your hand on his shoulder and go, is there anything I can do for you? That's salt.
That's salt. And I feel like Kairos moments is happening in the body of Christ now, in that our world is calling for people that really know God, because it's so much chaos that we're being called to be who we are in this time frame in life, to really be salt and earth. And I feel like that's a time-changing moment. It's the Kairos moment in the body of Christ.
Okay. That's that's an interesting, because for me, Kairos moments always come to me. They're about me.
No, I think
but you're
about...
saying they're Kairos moments of the church. And I see that. I mean, I look back and I remember the Jesus movement of the 70s, which I was a part of.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Kairos moment, the Pentecostal movement of the 80s, which I was not a part of but close to. I knew people who were part of that. I never really got there. I've gone through my own charismatic, and it is still there. I am still charismatic. I'm just not as flamboyant as some, but I believe in the gifts of the Spirit and that they are active and alive and useful and et cetera, et cetera. So that's me. I'm with you. I think something is going on in the church, but the only church I have to look at is the one in the United States, and mostly in my area. And what I see is what seems like a true desire to reach people and not just numbers or money.
I see that.
And I am delighted.
And our thinking in
it's
the church.
Hidden,
yeah.
To me, behind a lot of production,
yeah.
That kind of, I have to watch myself because when I see big production, I tend to be cynical. But we have visited churches that have the big production. We visited one today. We'll share the name. But it was a big production. But you know what? The message was right on track. And these people were serious.
And sincere.
About their Christianity and sharing it and seeing it grow. Does that mean they want up new churches and new buildings? Yeah. Is that wrong? None of it ministers to people.
No, and I feel like even with a big production, I guess, we are from an era of maybe
if
not
you
that.
To reach people, and, you know, and I realize there are folks out there saying you're compromised and you're – I don't see it as a compromise. I see it as using the tools that are available.
Right. I feel like it's the Kairos moment in the body of Christ in that we better be relevant
or we will be lost. Add to all this, to all these people who do the big productions and it looks like a professional choreography and all that, is it's still one-on-one Christianity. It still comes down to reaching one person who will recognize Jesus as their Savior and surrender their lives and enjoy their personal relationship. So it still comes down to that, to me.
And it does. And I feel like different strokes for different folks.
I know.
And if, I feel like younger people like that. I do like it. I love if it's good music and uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I love that. So, I mean, I think it's that. But don't lose who you're there for. And I don't feel like this church lost.
No.
In fact,
almost everyone that I've been to that had that in this area, we are in the national area. I can't tell you that.
So it's some phenomenal
vision.
None
of them felt bad to me.
Yeah.
They just want me.
Yeah.
There's been a couple, that did fit, but then we moved to another part of town and whatever.
Yeah.
So we're kind of church nomads, to be perfectly honest about
it.
Yes,
we are.
We're going to change that this year, this coming year. I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like because our ministry isn't like everybody else's. And that's okay. I'm confident.
I am enjoying, and I do want to find a brook, as they say, to be fed by one brook.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of enjoying going to different churches and seeing the different flavors of the different churches. But basically, I still see.
So now when we start our own church of Dave and Linda, we'll know exactly what we want.
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding. No, we're not starting our own church.
That was definitely a joke.
Because I do not want to be, quote, the spiritual leader of a group of people. I don't want that kind of pressure.
No. trust me, we are joking. But no, we just. Going back to our thing about Kairos moments are not always just those personal moments we have, but I feel like we can have Kairos moments in the body of Christ in a national setting and a society.
Wow, okay.
We can have Kairos moments that things
you know
work or don't right.
We should pray about that one. Let's do it right now.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray for Kairos moments for the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States, across the world, but right now in the United States.
Yes.
Lord, I hate to think what it will cost or what would cause such a moment, but I still want it to come.
Yes.
A moment of unifying Christianity, where one, we come out as they did in the first church, of one accord,
mm-hmm.
and in unity with a message that is real.
Yes. And, you know, Lord, just that you would touch the hearts of the people that are called by your name, that we would just be committed to you, and that,
mm-hmm.
and you ask us, you know, being a Christian is that you're dying to self daily. I feel like in our nation, we are really not dying to self.
Not hardly.
We are.
In fact, I think that's the biggest problem.
Yes,
in our
and I feel
today.
Like that's the Kairos moment.
Is
that
everybody
if I am
wants
committed to
they
Christ, want. If I am committed to Christ, then I have to die to self.
And that includes giving up something for someone else.
It does.
It means, okay, so, you know, I don't want to get into political
and
points,
I don't either, but I
but on
making
the other
people
hand,
think.
There are some good principles that are being put out today that are different and new that are they, you know, that we need to look at as Christians and go, is that a Christian principle? And the answer is yes, it is.
And our sometimes
now,
we have
there's
to
the
die.
Practical side. You know me, I'm
yeah.
Mr. Fiscal, F-I-S-C-A-L. He says, wait a minute. That sounds great, but, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Well, that's the dying, and for all of us, it's dying to self, because maybe Kairos moments are those moments that maybe you have to give up a belief system that isn't right, just or whatever.
Or maybe you have to listen to me and go, well, you got a practical point. How do we
right.
bring these together?
Right.
How do we take the practical and the spiritual, you know, the desire to feed the hungry, and the ability to pay for it. Where do we find a happy compromise? You know, how do we take care of the sick and the mental and the whatever or the single mom who needs some help to get out of where she is?
And
you
I
know?
Feel like God is calling us to Kairos moments.
I agree with you. I have
to
no doubt.
Think
we,
about
I just
those
Mr.
things.
Practical, you
yeah.
know me.
Well, not only it's a lot of people, me too, at certain points, but I feel like God is calling us to those moments to really be salt and light, that we be that, be his children
so,
on the
so
earth.
So what does that mean, Linda? So how you know, we're kind of getting off track, but really not. How do you respond? So here's a Kairos moment. I believe that we should take care of the sick, period. If they're sick, they're sick. And if they can't afford it, those of us who can and have the money should help. But, you know, and I won't go into buts and ifs and whatever. Let's just say that's a principle. Now, how do I affect that? Well, I need to vote. I need to talk to my congressman. I need to espouse that belief and say, I understand that there are difficulties and there's dollars and cents and there's only so much that can go, but what can we do?
Well, if we are salt and light, you know, just being a nurse sometimes, sometimes there's nothing we can do about whatever the government stance is
right.
on certain issues. That's a given.
Right.
But as salt and light, that might mean that as a hospice nurse, I know sometimes there are families with nobody. And if you're a church, if you have people, like they're in their dying days and they have nobody, and if you're a church, if you could send one person to just sit by them, sometimes that is a real need.
Absolutely. It's huge.
And
my
it's,
dad used to do
yeah,
that very thing.
Yeah, and I know to some people that may not seem like a big thing.
It's
but
huge.
It's huge.
That person
I
in
cannot
the bed.
Tell you how many times as a hospice organization, there's no food in the house. I have gone and bought food for people. This is a dying patient with no food in the house. And, you know, we have these big churches, and I'm not knocking big churches, but.
So what do we do, Linda? I mean, here we are in front of God and everybody on this program. What do we do?
I think it's just a moment to be aware of what's going on in your community.
Or is it time to go to the churches and say, hey, guys,
I
would like to put you in touch with this hospice because they have situations where you could really help.
Or churches seek out home care.
Well, that would be even better.
Home care providers and hospices, because trust me, there are families with needs. It's so gotten so bad for the hospice that I've worked for that as employees we have gotten together each month. We put some money aside.
The employees
to help a family or whatever. We've
created
a fund.
Yeah, you told me the story, so I know.
So I'm just saying that as a church, could a church go to a home care agency or a hospice and say, hey, when you run into families that are really having a hard time, could you let us know? And that's something practical.
Okay, folks, here we are. My eyes are welling up. The goose pimples are popping.
You're having a Kairos moment.
I'm having a Kairos moment right now. The Lord is saying, what about you, Dad? The next time this happens and Linda comes home and tells you this, what's to prevent you from going to that pastor at the church we went to today and going, hey, here's a need. Or the pastor of the other churches we visited. Maybe, the Lord said, I'm calling you this. This is part of your ministry, Doug. It's just to make known.
And I don't blame the churches. I don't feel like
if they don't know.
If they don't know, they don't know.
And nobody brings it to them.
And if we
really
have
aware.
Gone to churches before, I mean, our social workers and they have...
Guys, we're having a Kairos moment.
Does
this not fit our discussion that we've been having this week of how God is changing our business plan to deal with this particular, not that anybody's excluded, but we focus on this group, the end-of-life group,
right.
Whether they're elderly or young with a terminal disease who need help being ready for death.
Yeah.
Or whose family needs support.
Right.
And so it's okay to feel the way you feel.
Yeah.
Or there's not enough food in the house.
Yeah.
Or they have no place to go. Maybe they're homeless.
And I just feel like these are just instances, but I feel like as getting back to the Kairos moment that God is calling us to moments as Christians to say, I need you to be salt and light.
This is a Kairos moment. Let me explain to folks who are listening why this is a Kairos moment. Because this is significant. I am truly hearing the Lord say to me and convict me in a good way, Dave, you can make that phone call. The next time this happens, you can pick up the phone and call that pastor or that church and say, hey, here's a need. And that's not that hard. But then I see that and realize what God is morphing us into is a community of care for the dying.
Well, and not only for us, but I'm bringing it bigger, like whoever is listening, be aware of the people in your community.
Mm-hmm.
Your neighbors, maybe you have an elderly person across the street from you.
Who needs a visit.
Who just needs a visit. And no, you may not can solve the world problem.
Right.
But you could take a meal over to them, or you could just check on them every now and then.
Thursday evening at 8 o'clock and watch a TV program.
Just be aware of the single mom in your neighborhood or in your church that looks like she's struggling. And, if you're a guy, go ahead and do an oil change. I know when I was a single mom, sometimes I did not have the money to get an oil change.
Right.
These are practical things that we can do to help. And that's the thing about the Kairos moments. I feel like God is calling us to be salt and light, to be his hands and feet. And it's not about, the numbers.
No.
It's not about
well
a lot of things. And I'm not blaming churches for that because I feel like sometimes they don't know. They would help, I believe, if they knew.
Yeah, if it was truly presented, especially if it was a member of their church. Well, we're not a member of anybody's church.
Yeah.
Well, I am. I'm still a member of the Charismatic Episcopal Church, but there's not one near us. How interesting, because I'm just feeling click, click, click. You know how it goes, mm-hmm. where the guy's going, yeah, remember this, remember that. How do you remember? You were thinking about going to school for a bachelor's degree in Christian ministry. Well, here you go. You can start now.
It's just ways that we as Christians, I feel
and
like.
So I'm committing right here for the God, you, and our show. Next time you come home and you tell me of a situation, I'm going to make that phone call.
Well, a lot of times.
Now, I don't know what some of it, maybe nothing. But I'm
going to. In some of it, I guess we do have people that do make those calls, but sometimes I'm just saying be aware of things that happen. God drops moments in our time,
right.
Moments that we can be used.
Whether it's a church, home, work, pay. Attention.
Yeah.
I call them divine.
I feel like you can miss Kairos moments if you don't pay attention.
Oh, I call them divine appointments. You've heard
me.
You know, where you just walk in some place, you never planned it, you didn't realize anything, and next thing you know, you're having a conversation with somebody that affects you in a mighty way, or them, or a relationship that is now going to last for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know?
Definitely.
Just because you ran into somebody that you spiritually connected with, which are, I love those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't happen too often, but they do happen, and I love, you know, they're great. You know, it could be, I've had it happen to me in the Starbucks over a cup of coffee, and somebody's sitting close to me, and they say, you know, we're having a conversation. And it goes, you know, if you talk to me for very long, you're going to hear something spiritual. Because that's my life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I spend my time thinking about as much as I can. And so sooner or later, I'm going to ask it. There's a good chance I'm going to ask you, what's your spiritual condition? What's your relationship with God? Unoffensively. You know, I'm not asking. I'm genuinely curious. I'm genuinely interested. You may teach me. And I'm usually thinking you may teach me something that I don't know.
So let's bring it back to our Kairos moment, our personal, because we kind of went
over. Okay, we just had one on the air.
Have one on the air just right now. I mean, because that just came up out of nowhere. Can the church have Kairos moments? And I think the body of Christ does. We're in one right now. So that was one, I guess. And then we do have our personal Kairos.
Well, that was a personal Kairos moment shared, at least for me.
Me too.
Shared right here on the air.
Well, the Holy Spirit just brought that. You know,
where I feel like God just culminated or added to a conversation that's been happening with me all week. And all of a sudden, all the parts and pieces came together. And I go, oh, duh.
Yeah.
Those are Kairos moments where I go, oh, good grief, how could I have not seen this? You know, but it's okay. I don't beat myself up anymore.
No, I mean, it's
because I know
his
timing is perfect.
It's his timing is perfect. And I will say that, you know, churches do respond when we act. A lot of times we've gotten enough money in our little bank account now that
we're going to cover it.
We can cover it. Yeah, we got a little slush money.
You probably shouldn't be telling this on the air.
What? Well, no, because I didn't mention the hospital or anything like that, or the patient. I mean, the situation, but I didn't mention the patient. But basically, you know, that was just an example of how we think of big ways, even politically, like what am I going to do about there? But there are small ways that we can affect our neighbor, our friend, or whatever.
Also, folks, we have absolutely no idea how long we've been on or how much longer we have since Blog Talk Radio has decided to change something here. But we'll just keep going for at least a while longer.
Yeah. When we get out
well,
of
Well, no, actually, I got a thought. We've been over 35 minutes.
Okay, so what are your – we talked about your personal Kairos moments. Are those life-changing? For me, they're just moments in time that kind of stood still and I came to a new revelation.
Well, I want to share some more just because I want folks to not think of the way I think necessarily, but to ask themselves, are these the Kairos moments? And there are some of them are so small. I remember – I was probably 8 years old, extremely competitive, playing a pickup baseball game at a holiday family reunion. And it was my mother who was at bat, and I was pitching, and I actually tried to bean her. That's how competitive I was. I tried to hit my own mother with baseball, you know. And of course, she looked at me like, "Excuse me," you know, because I couldn't throw hard enough to really hurt or anything. But I've never forgotten it because it was a lesson in self-control and how little I had. Those are little things.
I feel like there's the little lessons that we learn, and maybe, like I said, sometimes those lessons turn out to be something that you don't get at that moment,
mm-hmm.
but years later, you really know the significance. There are people that I feel like I have ran into that I didn't quite get at the moment, but years later, I realized that was a significant meeting. That I feel like things that they deposited in me
just took a while to
it
come
took
up.
A while for me to grow up into that idea.
Yeah.
I think that there are at least two ladies that I remember from my past that one I always tell you about. She never spoke a word, but she witnessed to me by her demeanor.
She led
me to the light, Lord, without even speaking a word, but she made a life-changing impact on my life without even really witnessing. She was really a good...
Oh, no, she witnessed.
She did witness.
She just didn't have to do it verbally.
She didn't do it verbally. She just always was... She prayed for people. She did all kind of things for people. I see her do it. Sometimes I don't even know if she saw me checking her out and stuff like
that.
My
guess is she didn't.
She
was
didn't.
That genuine. That's
yeah,
what
she really was that genuine.
Genuine.
One of the most genuine people I ever met. And I feel like in my heart, I would say, Lord, I just really, I mean, not even say Lord then, because I wasn't
well,
even Christian.
Well, do you want to share at a high level what happened to you several, what, a year ago?
Yeah, a year ago. This lady.
This was the Kairos moment.
Yeah, that was the Kairos moment. I never got to tell her how she affected my life. I was a Muslim at that time, but she really just witnessed to me. I think maybe a year later I became a Christian, but we worked together, and I wasn't working at that place anymore.
So she never knew.
So she never knew, or I felt like I'll never be able to tell her, you know, how much I appreciate her. Well, years later, 10 years later, I go to a patient's home. This was a Kairos moment, as you think
about it.
I go to a patient's home. I knock on the door, and there she is. She was taking care of this person that I was with. We both started.
And let me explain, folks, this is a different city.
Yes, it's
this
a whole other place.
You know, no way could anybody but God have orchestrated this.
Definitely, because that I when I was living
and
in Alabama. Well, I went into tears because I couldn't believe that I had seen her like years later in another city, and she just hugged me. She really didn't know what I was so emotional about. She had no idea. She knew I was Muslim, and I had to tell them. I was like, you know, I don't want to say her name or anything, but she's a beautiful woman. I became a Christian because of the way you were.
So
your
for the next 2 hours. You got to tell her.
Yes. How?
And what that must have done for
her.
Oh,
she started crying. And not only did she start crying, but the patient, who didn't even
The patient just got the side business.
Yes.
Innocent bystander.
Innocent bystander start crying. She said it worked. She hardly had to speak. So she was like, oh, wonderful. You know, it was just, I couldn't believe that I'd seen her.
Because, you know what, I just heard God say that we should share with our thoughts is, Kairos moments many times are gifts.
Oh,
yes.
Gifts of grace. Yes.
That's a gift of grace.
I got a chance to tell
well,
her
God just said,
what she did.
Guys,
yeah.
I want you to get to experience telling this lady what she meant to you.
And she had no idea.
And then he said to the lady, here you go. I want you to get to hear what a difference you made in somebody's life.
Yeah.
And then he said to the patient, here you go. I want you to see what two Christian women look like.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is cool, and that's exactly
and
what happened.
And we all three had Kairos moments.
And we all three, and like she didn't even know. She had no idea
no.
that she had.
It wasn't planned.
Yeah.
You were just a nurse from the hospice.
Yeah. But it was like one of those moments, definitely a Kairos moment, that I felt like it was a gift to her. It was a gift to me to be able
and
to tell her
and
the patience that, and it's, the moment just unfolded with these gifts.
Right, and that's when God, as you know,
yes.
that God is the great programmer.
Isn't
I call him the great programmer.
Isn't he?
He takes all these things, weaves them all together, and boom, there's the moment.
And, now,
the
and she's
God.
A minister now, and she she had a great singing voice, because sometimes she would sing to patients and stuff like that. And she's recorded
well,
a couple of songs
every
here.
Every time you talk about her, I think of this statement. It's from, I believe, St. Augustine, who said, at all times witness, and when necessary, speak.
And that would be her.
That
would
be
her.
So and that's what I want. That's what I want for my life. My life to be a witness.
Mm-hmm.
And my words are just almost unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know? I have prayed, and I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I'm going to say it again. I do not want to be great in the kingdom of God. That's a statement I used to say.
Mm-hmm.
I now say I just want to be skilled in the kingdom of God. I want to be so skilled that when I touch somebody, they're healed. I don't care that they know it was my touch.
Oh, that's
in fact, true. I'd really rather they did. I want to be so skilled that I can just say Jesus to somebody and they get saved.
Wow. That would be awesome.
I want to be so skilled that I can just fall on my knees and say, Lord, please. And it happened according to his will, of course.
But I think Kairos moments, and I now came to a moment where you were saying in your childhood, in mm-hmm. my childhood, I remember the ladies in our little Baptist church that
you don't
some
think
of
that
them way. I used to make fun of. I'm not when they used to shout and stuff. I'm not going to lie.
You don't make fun of me anymore.
I
don't
I still laugh in a very memorable way. But how they impacted me, because when they
That's
prayed, it was like the timbers shook and things changed. And I remember these ladies coming to my grandmother's house for a prayer meeting, like prayer, like you wouldn't believe prayer, like and lives be changed
right.
kind of prayer. And I
See, that's what I want.
Those are Kairos moments that I think of now because.
And we're headed there.
Yeah, I would love to be in there. Lord, I'd like to be one of them kind of women.
God's going to do that for us.
But they were Kairos moments in that they were in my life for
Absolutely.
Me to see
well, if
the
you
dedication.
Want to talk about that, then my whole childhood was a Kairos moment. Being raised in the Southern Baptist Church, I would give nothing for. I love the Southern Baptist Church. I'm no longer part of that denomination, but it is not because I don't believe in it. It just, there was a time when it didn't fit me as well as it once did. But the Bible knowledge and the preaching and the teaching and prayer, you know, all those things. There are a lot of things I'm not happy about that I had to, quote, frankly, unlearn. But I wouldn't give anything for that. I'm so grateful for that childhood, that bringing up in a solid church. Not perfect, but solid.
Well, and I would say the same thing about, you know, right now I don't feel like I would fit in the couple of the churches in Prattville, Alabama that I went to.
I think you would.
But
what
they gave me in those churches, what I learned and what I received just by looking, hearing, and being around is foundational in me being a woman of God.
So
I really
think. Kairos in
4 years.
Influencers.
Influencers, yeah.
And that was just more for the definition of
yeah,
but that's
I
okay.
think they were Kairos moments in that 30 years later I can look at these women and say, now
is
that is the kind of grandma.
Kairos moment that lasted for me about 13 years.
Well, I think you don't appreciate sometimes those moments.
No.
And then you get older.
Are you kidding?
and
it's
you realize
16, I didn't appreciate any of those moments. I didn't even have time to want to be there.
Well, sometimes
unless
I was
there was some good looking girl in class, you know, or something like that.
Sometimes some of the kids we would sneak out back and
yeah. Oh yeah, we used to volunteer for security duty.
Yeah.
And all that really meant was we didn't have to be in the church, you know, the church service. We'd be outside walking around the cars or something, you know. But most of the deacons took that job.
Yeah. But you know, you think about those simple moments in your childhood that maybe you didn't appreciate as a child, and then you years later you realize how rich, and I feel like that's almost like a Kairos moment, how rich that was in your life.
And you know, I would encourage folks, because I've done this, if there are people in your past as a child who had significant impacts on your life and you haven't told them, look them up and call them.
Oh, that is
wonderful. I've done that.
I had
a basketball coach. I have, you know, a Sunday school teacher, an RA guy, and a choir director, female, you know, young people kind of that I have contacted and invited out to breakfast so I could tell them.
And that's beautiful because I got that moment, well, I think I can say with Hattie, and that was the lady's name.
Okay.
I got that moment with her.
I don't think you were actually through the first thing.
Yeah, I've got that moment with her, but I haven't had it with other people that totally affected my life. But you know,
sleep
it's so
over
important
it, but
to,
if you get a chance, can you imagine what that would feel like for them?
I can tell you from the personal experience that I
what it felt like for Patty.
Hattie.
You saw that.
Yeah,
Hattie.
I saw that. Tears, and you know, just like I really didn't even know that. Yes, she was. That, you know, sometimes, and maybe that was a moment in her that got so. Sometimes you don't have to speak a word, Hattie, and you still save people.
And you know, as we're talking about, I'm also thinking of places.
Yeah.
Let me give you a place that was such a big. I hope my friend Kevin Fault hears this program because he will get this. At the first, and I'm going to name names on this one, the First Baptist Church of Center Point, when I was 8 years old, they rented property that was owned by Kevin's dad, I believe, and had their first set of summer camps. This place was my dream. You know, I got to spend the whole week running around with a bunch of guys playing all the sports I loved, whether it was volleyball, horseshoes, ping pong, swimming, basketball, four square, softball. I'm in heaven, okay? And there was a creek that was our swimming pool, and it was deep enough to dive and all those things, and then it had a dam at the very end, and you could go below the dam if you weren't a, quote, swimmer, and play in the water. It was just a childhood dream. And I went I got to pick 1 week every year for like 4 or 5 years, and then I can't remember what happened. And every one of those weeks was a spiritual week for me, because not only did we have all the fun, we had Bible studies, and we had devotionals, and we had singing, and they affected me big time.
And I think that, like we talked about Hattie, but there are other people, and it may not always be spiritual people. It can be the death of a person.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just had, I don't even know if I told you that, a friend of mine that just recently passed, I mean, like recently, like days ago, that we went through a lot together in a certain point in my life. And then, you know, I moved, she moved. But I was thinking about, we danced together. I mean, literally danced. We were in dance together. And she was just such a delightful person that, though sometimes I think that God shows you moments of time how people can be in your life for a season.
Uh-huh.
And it was a season where it was really difficult for me.
And she was one of the lights.
She was one of the lights in that season. And I feel like those are Kairos moments when that person is gone and you realize how people can be a light in your life and a dark place.
And here's what's interesting. And I love the ingenuity, the wisdom, the creativity of God. You just told a story where she was the light in your life. But I bet if you talked to her, she would say, at that time, you were a light in her life. I bet you, if you had the opportunity to ask her, she'd say that. And I just love how God uses friendships in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I have one, as you know, my best friend. We've been through a lot together, sometimes long distance, but still together, who is close to me as my brothers, in some ways closer. And I would like to think I have been a light in his life, but he has definitely been a light of mine. And I've helped him through things, and he's helped me through things. And we've ministered to each other more than once. We've encouraged each other. We've exhorted each other. We've, you know, and to this day, I don't believe we've ever had a crossword. Ever.
Well, we don't always think about that, but it takes a moment to you appreciate that person's presence in your life. And because she just passed like a day or two ago, it was that moment of her passing, I hate to say, for me to really go back and think how significant for that time of my life that she was.
God just gave me in something new, life partners.
Mm-hmm.
We should really do a show on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because this, my best friend is one of my life partners. Now, not my life partner like Linda, who's my married wife, everything, but certainly a life partner. We will be friends until one of us. We will always be friends. Period.
Well, and I feel like
after we're gone, in this world, I believe we'll be friends.
You might have something. Sometimes Kairos moments are gifted moments that you get a moment of understanding. And I think that can happen with people, places, and things. Things that occurred that either changed your destiny or confirmed your destiny.
Yeah. I have people like this. I mentioned somebody a minute ago, and maybe I shouldn't have, but there are people I grew up with from kindergarten through high school who either by themselves or by their family have changed my life. There was a coach. There was a family. I won't name them.
Mm-hmm.
Who lived in Centerpoint. Long as I can remember, they went to First Baptist Church. They went to Irwin High. The kids went to Irwin High School. Their dad was a coach. You know, a lot of people can figure this out. When the mom was a teacher, they, as a family, very affected me because they were Christian leaders, and they set an example. Were they perfect? No. Did I think they were perfect? They looked like it. You know, I admired the kids. They were athletes and leaders, and they just had a huge influence on the whole community.
Well, and that's a good thing. I think that, you know, there can also be Kairos moments with negative impact in your life. Where you learn, and maybe it didn't happen to you. I know that there have been things I've seen other people go through, maybe even as early as a teenager, and realize, you know what?
I don't want to go down that path.
I don't want to go. I'm not going to do this the way you did it because I'm not going to.
The only one I can tell you is being 16, 17, and 18 in high school is watching my buddies get in trouble and going, you stupid idiot. And it was real simple. They'd do the same things I did on Friday night and Saturday nights. They just couldn't keep quiet. But anyway, that's kind of off to the point. But it was a lesson.
Yeah. Well, those I guess mine are, you know.
I wasn't very spiritual. I'm sorry.
Well, it doesn't have to be. Well, it is those kind of things. I know that it was a certain time.
Almost out of time.
Okay. I won't even go there. But just remember, Kairos moments can be seen in persons, places, or things. They are life-changing moments that may define or confirm your destiny.
And if you want to examine them, this is how I do it. I start thinking about, I go back as far as I can go and try to remember what I can remember. And most of the time, whatever comes to my mind, probably was a Kairos moment. I would like to add one more thing, because I definitely want to add this before we go. You can build Kairos moments for your children. I believe that. Vacations, invest in those times. I remember some of my times with my dad and mom and brothers, you know, on vacation that are so significant. So that's one thing you can do. Just saying.
Yeah.
You want to close?
Well, I just, we kind of prayed once before, but I just feel like I'll close with a prayer that, Lord, that we just delight, receive understanding, revelation, and knowledge in those moments of time that are an appointment for us from you, that we acknowledge and receive those times in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Goodbye, folks. Enjoy the rest of your week, and I will see you next Sunday.
All righty then.